Moses. My name is Moses. You will have to forgive my mouth. It has a mind of its own. It will get better if I relax. Funny how I have trouble saying my own name. Insecurity. It is important. A person's name is important. It defines them. It is your first impression of them. Moses is an interesting name with dual meanings, like me and my dual identities for most of my life. In the Egyptian language, Moses means boy child or son of. For example, my Egyptian grandfather, stepfather, stepbrother all had the same name, Thutmose. Thutmose means son of Thoth. Thoth is the Egyptian god of healing. Thutmose, son of Thoth. Moses, god of, son of no one in particular. In the Hebrew language, Moses means the one who draws out. And so my name became my destiny. Moses, the son of Egypt, Israel, who draws out his Hebrew brothers from their slavery. But it did not happen the way I thought it would or should. When I was born, Pharaoh Thutmose the First was on the throne, and he thought the Hebrews had become too numerous. So he commanded that all newborn males be killed. My Hebrew mother, Jochebed, kept me a secret for 3 months. Then Thutmose commanded all people to cast all Hebrew infant males into the Nile River. And Jochebed did as she was told. After she placed me in a watertight basket, first she put me in the river. And my Egyptian mother, Hatshepsut, Pharaoh's daughter, was bathing in the Nile and found my basket and wanted to keep me. My clever Hebrew sister, Miriam, stood on the bank and called out to the princess, asking if she needed a Hebrew wet nurse for me. And so my Egyptian mother paid my Hebrew mother to keep and feed me until I was weaned. And then I moved to the palace and was raised as an Egyptian. I have no personal memories of my beginnings. As the son of Hatshepsut, I was provided with the finest education and was treated as Egyptian royalty by all of Egypt, except for the royal family. My mother loved me fiercely, but grandfather Thutmose told me to leave whenever I came near. I heard him tell my mother once to get that thing out of my sight. When mother married her half-brother, Thutmose the Second, he became my stepfather, but he treated me like grandfather did. to the rest of Egypt. I was the grandson and then the son of Pharaoh, and they denied me nothing. But to grandfather and stepfather, I was nothing. I did not mourn when grandfather died and was a mere spectator at the coronation of my stepfather when he became Pharaoh. Although my stepbrother, his younger son by his consort Thutmose III, stood at his side. And as my stepfather reigned, I was told to keep to my studies and not interrupt the important affairs of state. And when stepfather did condescend to speak to me, he asked why I was not doing better in my learning. Although the tutor praised me as much as my stepbrother. Stepfather died when I was 16. And when he did, my mother became Pharaoh. And when mother was Pharaoh, everything changed. There was no place I could not go. She welcomed me to her side at any time. She even asked me to join with her to witness important negotiations. I thought she was preparing me to become her successor and said so one day, and her face fell. And she told me that it could never be. And then told me about the basket and revealed that I had Hebrew blood in my veins, not Egyptian, as I had always believed. And I had spent my entire life as an imposter. But suddenly all my mistreatment was explained. I had given little thought to the Hebrews. They served us in the palace. They tended the fields. They built everything that was being built. My mother said that it did not matter. It changed nothing. I was still her son, but I knew better. And I knew that others in the family knew. I knew that my stepbrother, Thutmose III, the next pharaoh, he knew. And this self-knowledge, though it explained some mysteries, it opened all new questions. And I found myself looking to this people that I had given no focus to and was eavesdropping on them in their conversations. I was scrutinizing them in their work, seeking to glean some knowledge of this people to whom I abruptly belonged. I had been blind to Egyptian mistreatment of the slaves. I had accepted the structure and culture of slavery as natural order and had believed the Hebrews to be inferior. But here I was, the proof that they were not. Given the opportunity of royalty and the education I received, I was an even match for the next pharaoh, with the exception of my speaking problem. But that is an individual feature, not a Hebrew trait. With my new sensitivity to the Hebrews' plight came a new anger at their mistreatment. And I wondered at my mother's ability to continue in the horrible practices of her husband and her father, in spite of having adopted a Hebrew as her own son. And I was torn between my love for her as my mother and my anger with her for her oppression of my people, a struggle which paralyzed me until her death. But Once she was gone, I felt no such conflict. And my stepbrother, who, like his father and grandfather before him, had made no mystery of his disdain for me as we grew together, I was happy to question him and his practices. I even pointed out that providing better conditions, better treatment to the slaves, more rest for the Hebrews would make them better workers. I thought this would gain a foothold. He had just announced an ambitious building campaign, new temples, huge expansion to the great temple in Karnak. But the response of Thutmose III was that the only reason he did not tell all of Egypt that I was a Hebrew slave was his desire that the memory of his father and grandfather not be tarnished by their failure to deal with me appropriately. And I was enraged, not just by this insult to me, but by his disregard of my entire race. I thought that if words would not work with Pharaoh, then I would take matters into my own hands. I thought that if I could gain the support of the Hebrews, I could lead them in revolt against Pharaoh. I thought I was perfectly positioned to be their deliverer. And so I went out to see my own people hard in their labor. And before long, an Egyptian overseer beat a Hebrew simply because the slave had stumbled in exhaustion. And I thought of all the times I had been struck down, not by blows, but by words that stung and scarred me all the same. And anger burned within me, and I struck down the Egyptian and killed him. No other Egyptians were present, so I hid his body in the sand. I thought the Hebrews would cheer me as their champion, that they would recognize that God had sent me to deliver them. But they trusted me as much as they trusted Pharaoh, whom I had foolishly just given every reason he needed to kill me. And when I learned that Thutmose had sent his elite palace guard to look for me, not knowing what else to do, I fled. And knowing how far the arm of Pharaoh reached in those days, I went far, far away, as far as Midian. I had thought I would become the deliverer of the Hebrew slaves, but the only deliverance I was capable of was to scare off a couple of bullies who were not letting the local shepherd girls water their flock. In Midian, one thing led to another, and before I knew it, I was married to one of those girls and was a shepherd myself, a life to which I was completely unaccustomed, simpler, harsher. These people worship the God of my ancestors, my God, and they were free to do so. They built no monuments. They did not inscribe their achievements in the stone. They had neither want nor abundance, but they had something I had never witnessed. In the midst of their repetitive toil, these people were happy. They were content. And I was humbled. And over 40 years, my pride was worn away by this simple life, far from the stone halls of Egypt. I no longer saw myself as a deliverer, but as a fool who had played a fool's part. In Egypt, I had been a non-person, a foreigner without status either in Egypt or Israel. But here in Midian, I was a man, nothing more, nothing less. A man with a family, a flock, and a God. And one day, that flock led its shepherd to his God. I had taken the flock to the far side of the wilderness for better grazing in the shade of the mountain. And one morning before the sun rose above the mountain, I saw upon it a bush ablaze with fire. But as I watched, the bush did not change. It was not consumed, as the fire blazed on without stopping. I left the flock to their breakfast and climbed to investigate. As I neared this burning bush, the voice of God spoke to me from within the flame. "Moses, Moses." "I am Moses." "Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." "I am the God of your fathers. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And I hid my face because I was afraid to look at God. "I have heard the cries of my people because of their affliction, and I have come down to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians, and to bring them into their own land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So go now, Moses. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people out of Egypt."
Me? Oh, how can I go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? I tried this before. The Hebrews do not trust me.
"I will be with you."
"How will they know that you are with me? Suppose I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they say, 'Oh, really? So prove it. What is his name?' What do I say to them then?"
"I am the one who is. Tell them, 'I am the one who is has sent me to you.' I am the God of your past, the God of your fathers, and I am your God. In the present, I acted in history, and I am here now. I am the one who always is. The elders of Israel will listen to you. Take them with you to Pharaoh and say, 'I am the one who is, the God of the Hebrews, has met with us and calls us to sacrifice to him in the wilderness.' But I know that the king of Egypt will not let you go until my mighty hand compels him. So I will stretch out my hand and strike down the Egyptians with all the wonders I shall perform in Egypt, and then he will let you go."
"Pardon me, Lord, but you have the wrong man for this job. Just listen to me. Whenever I get nervous or under pressure, my mouth and tongue block up. Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? I will help you speak. I will teach you what to say. Pardon me, Lord. Please, please send someone else. I am the Creator, and yet you doubt that I can overcome your minor weaknesses? I will fulfill my purposes in spite of your lack of faith. Your brother Aaron will speak when you are afraid to speak. I will tell you what to say, and you will speak to Aaron and put my words into his mouth. Aaron will speak to the people, and it will be as if you are his mouth and as if you are God to him. Bring the staff in your hand with you as well, for through it I shall perform my wonders throughout Egypt. Now go back to Egypt, Moses, for the king who sought to kill you is dead, and the time for me to deliver my people is at hand. Go. And so I stumbled down the mountain. I gathered my family together and ran with haste to Egypt. I had seen God himself, the one who always is. And I knew that no matter what faced me in Egypt, he would be with me, just as he said. And he was. I found Aaron and told him all that had happened. And we gathered together all of the elders of Israel and told them what the Lord has said. And I showed them the signs that he had given me. And they believed. And when they heard that the Lord had seen their misery and was concerned for them, they bowed down and worshipped. And we went together, the elders and Aaron and Moses, and we stood before Amenhotep II, the son of my stepbrother, my step-nephew, young and strong, now the supreme ruler and god of Egypt. And we told him, "This is what I am, the one who is. The God of the Hebrews says to you, let my people go, that they may celebrate a festival to me in the wilderness." And so began Amenhotep's litany of refusals. And in response to each one, "I am the one who is," performed a wonder through me and through my staff, each one greater than the one before. Wonders in the forms of plagues sent upon the Egyptians, directed at the realm of one of her impotent gods, triumphing over them all, one at a time. At the beginning, the court magicians were able to mimic the events until the fourth wonder, when "I am the one who is" transformed the dust of the earth into living creatures. At which point, the court magicians said to Pharaoh, "Truly, this is the finger of God." But Pharaoh did not relent. And the Lord sent us to him again to say, "Let my people go that they may worship me, or I shall release the full force of my wonders upon you, that you may know that there is no one like me in heaven or earth. So far, I have withheld my wrath. By now, I could have
I could have wiped you from the face of the earth, but I have spared you that you may see my power and that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth." But Pharaoh would not yield. And the wonders built in crescendo until finally the Lord told us to find year-old lambs without blemish or defect and to slay them at twilight, to spread their blood upon our doorframes. We roasted those lambs and ate them that night with bitter herbs and unleavened bread, ready to leave at a moment's notice. For the lamb's blood was a sign to death itself to not enter that home as it moved through Egypt that night in judgment on all her gods and on Pharaoh, striking down every firstborn, human or animal. And the wonders of I am the one who is were complete. And Pharaoh was broken. He released the slaves, all the slaves, all their herds, all their flocks. And we flew from Egypt into the freedom won for us by the one who is. A freedom that seemed all too brief. For as we walked in the way the Lord showed us, we came to a point where there was nowhere else to go at the side of the sea, but back into the teeth of the pursuing Egyptian army. For Amenhotep had regained his arrogance and gathered his chariots, and though his forces were diminished, we had no weapons and were helpless. There was no earthly hope for us. The Israelites cried out and said, "It would have been better for us to remain slaves and live than die free beside the sea here in the desert." And I told them, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord today. The attacking forces you see today, you will never see again. For the Lord shall fight for you. You need only be still." And at the command of the Lord, I raised my staff, and we beheld the final wonder of the waters parting in the sea. And we walked through the sea on dry land, surrounded by the mighty waters piled high beside us, while I am the one who is kept Pharaoh at bay behind. And he released them at the perfect time when the final Hebrew stood upon the distant shore and all of Pharaoh's army was on the sea floor pursuing us. The Lord commanded me, and I stretched out my staff again, and the waters collapsed upon them all. When the Israelites saw the great power that I am the one who is unleashed upon the Egyptians, they feared the Lord and put their trust in Him. They feared the Lord and put their trust in Him. Thus were the Hebrew slaves delivered from their bondage in Egypt, not according to the will or design of Moses. No. It was when I set myself aside, when I sought the face of God, that I am the one who is delivered His people using me according to his plan. When I took my eyes off myself and placed them on him, then I could see his way and knew that he would always be with me and never leave me on that way. No matter what. No matter what. Please stand now. Let us pray. O great God, you are the one who always was and is and shall be. We bow before you humbly now and ask that you forgive us when we lose the awareness of our need for you. Forgive us when we feel capable in ourselves to face the challenges of life and of eternity. Help us to know our limitations, to reject trust in our natural abilities, but let us also not be overwhelmed by our weaknesses. May we always remember you and shift our gaze from ourselves to you, from what we are able to do to what you are able to do. When we trust in ourselves and thus experience disappointment, let that disappointment always turn us back to you. Let our suffering, our sense of need, our sense of helplessness drive us into your presence to seek your face, to be still. And may our trust in you, our surrender to your will, be so complete that we are able to be used by your mighty hand to show your wonders to this world. Amen.
Yevarechecha Yahweh v'yishrecha. May I am the one who is bless you and keep you. Ya'er Yahweh panayv eilecha v'chunecha. May I am the one who is make his face shine to you and be gracious to you. Ya'er Yahweh panayv eilecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. May I am the one who is lift his face to you and give you peace. Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance of the Lord today. The attacking forces you see before you now, you will never see again. For I say, the Lord will fight for you. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be afraid.